account in Ruth, and you see that that obligated nearer kinsman was obligated, according to the law, to redeem. And to redeem, he was commanded to do. But why couldn't he do it? I mean, they came there to where, as it were, the hall of justice. They came there to where covenants are ratified and witnessed. And there, among all these witnesses, there's one that, oh yes, he was perfectly willing to redeem as long as it suited himself.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He was willing to redeem, okay, except he wouldn't do exactly what was needed and obligated by the law. He would do just as much as his old sorry nature wanted to do. And you know, that's a picture of us, my friends. We're obligated under the law. We're obligated to be made right before the Lord. We're obligated to be redeemed, absolutely. And the thing is, you can't do it yourself.
Amen.
Because in your original nature, you're too blame sorry.
Right.
You're selfish. You okay? You are your own God. When you're void of the Spirit of God. That's why, my friends, it took our great Boaz, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was willing. I think Boaz had a notion all the time that that sorry kinsman redeemer wasn't going to redeem. And he was there anticipating and ready before all of those able witnesses to redeem his beloved. And you could never, never, never be one person in the eternal fires of the lake of torment that can shake their fist at God and say, I loose your shoe and spit in your face because you didn't redeem me. No, friends, no such thing. No such accusation certainly could ever be made against His children, but more so against the God of glory who's perfect in all of His ways.
Right.
And I'm thankful for that good preaching, brother. Thank you. What I have on my mind this evening is just a very simple concept. Okay, a couple of passages of Scripture that so oftentimes give people reservation. It makes them stop and say, you know, does that mean what the world thinks it means? Okay? And I just want to explore a couple of those passages. My understanding of the term rubric is it's a framework by which you interpret something. Okay? How do we interpret everything we read in the Bible? Well, we've been given fundamental, unquestionable facts in the Word of God, and we use those to interpret those things that may be a little enigmatic, that may be a little clouded, may be a little unclear. You know, a good rule when you're studying the Bible is always use the clear and concise to understand that which is more cloudy and mysterious.
Right.
That's why you don't go to Revelation and take out of there and decide to build you a doctrine by which you will thumb your nose and slap at all the clear teaching of Jesus Christ and the apostles regarding so many things. And unfortunately, especially regarding end times, a lot of people have done that.
Right.
Okay? And we don't want to do that. We want to believe what the Bible says, how it reads, and by that we want to draw our conclusions about what the truth is. Now, considering that, I want to talk about, if I had to give a title to this message, it would be, they must have been born again. They must have been born again. Now, there are many, many examples in the Word of God we could go to, which you could point out and say, you would be as confused as a football bat if you did not know how man gets born again.
Right.
And you didn't know what being born again meant. And you didn't know the ramifications of being born again. And you didn't know the impossibilities of making yourself born again. I'll tell you, your understanding of the Bible will be crooked as a tub of guts, and that's what we've got in the world today. People don't know the Bible. And so therefore, anybody wearing a turtleneck with feathery hair that'll get up and give a 15-minute sermon, yay, that's got to be right because I ain't got no idea what it means. Primitive Baptist, you need to know what the Word of God teaches.
Amen.
And to do that, you've got to have some fundamental understanding. And at the very outset of the ministry of Jesus Christ, He had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, and He told him flat out just how the cow ate the cabbage. He told him plainly something that every child of grace needs to know at the outset of trying to understand the ministry, the life, and redemption in Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't wait a long time to reveal it. No, He revealed it right at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like a key to a map. You want to know what the actual distance is translated to miles? You got to know what the inch represents, you see? You've got to have the key. You know, I love that movie, A Christmas Story. I love it. I watch it every year around Christmas, and I'll watch it in springtime if I can. Now, my wife, Laura, bless her heart, she's a heathen, and she doesn't like that movie. But during that movie, he was waiting for the code to come across from Little Orphan Annie, and he had to have the key, right? He had to have the little thing he could turn around and would crack the code for you. Friends, the problem with the world today, the problem with them having such vain and shallow religion where they minimize God and maximize the sinner, is because that nobody has shown them the perspective from the Word of God to crack the code. And I don't understand, because Jesus did it in one of His first discourses ever recorded in the Word of God. Amen. And we find it there in John chapter 3. Notice what He said here. Jesus answered in John 3:3-6. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again." Now you go ask any Greek scholar and they'll tell you that's not something you're being commanded to perform. That is something, speaking of something that has been performed upon you. Okay? Right. This is something from outside of you that gets unto you. This is not a directive. This is not a recipe for you to follow. It is a simple fact saying ye must be born again, and it does not carry with it the inference at all that you've got to do the borning, because you know what? You can't do it. You're not Boaz. You're that sorry old failing redeemer who is too wrapped up in himself to do anything. That represents our fallen natures compared to the law of God we can't redeem. And brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus here is saying. Except a man be born again. Except he be instilled with life. That born again also could literally be translated from above. Except you be born from above. Except you be born again. What? Okay, now he's talking about being born again, right? We got that. Yeah. What's he say about it? Okay? Except a man be born again, he cannot see. And that word "see" carries with it not only things that you visualize, but anything you taste, feel, or experience, any type of experience that you have is encompassed by that Greek term that is translated "see" there. It's not just talking about vision. It's not just talking about eyeballs. It's talking about what your experience is. Right. Whatever you experience, however you experience it, whether it be tactile, whether it be spiritual, that's what "see" encompasses. S-E-E.
Right.
He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? There's no problem with that question. It's a lucid question.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he was thinking along the long plane. Let me tell you something, my friends. I've always heard people, sometimes preachers will get up and they'll, oh no, I'm not one of these. I'm not going to get caught into over-spiritualizing. You know? And no, we don't need to over-spiritualize things, but I'm going to tell you what, you can under-spiritualize things.
Right. Right.
And that's what Nicodemus was doing. Nicodemus was under-spiritualizing this conversation with the Messiah. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is here trying to think on simply a temporal plane and understanding. He's thinking about the material. He's not thinking about the spiritual, my friends. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit,
yes,
and no, bless your heart, Church of Christ, that ain't talking about the waters of baptism. That's not talking about the waters of the baptistry or the creek or the swimming pool or anything else whereby we go into those waters emulating the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, now there's different people that think different things about that. One of those enigmatic things. But I want you to understand something. Understanding that Jesus here is giving a vital key to understanding the Scripture. A vital key to not only understanding the New Testament, but certainly all those sweet body of witnesses that lived in the Old Testament.
Right.
Okay? Right off the bat, I think here he's equating water and the Spirit.
Right.
How many times in the Word of God is water emblematic of the Spirit of God? I ain't going to get into that. That's a sermon all on its own. That's a series of sermons all on its own. Because there's so much evidence of that in the Word of God. I think what Jesus is saying here, and also that can be literally also translated, and I'm not doing any damage to the King James translators. It just gives you a different perspective of how to look at this passage. I think they translated it right well. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," that can also literally be translated water, even the Spirit. In other words, he's renaming. He says, so many times you've looked and you've seen water. Oh, over in Isaiah chapter 55, when he talks about the rain that cometh down, the snow from heaven, and watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth a bud, and gives bread to the eater, and seed to the sower. So is every word that cometh out of my mouth. Okay? He's giving you a key. That's talking about the Spirit. That's talking about the Spirit. Oh, that there is a river that makes glad the city of our God. That's talking about the Spirit of God. Again, time and time and time again. Okay? So here he tells you, except you be born of the Spirit, you can't see nor enter in to the kingdom of God. So you can't experience it. And you can't take one step to traverse in it.
Right. Right.
You have no right to it.
No. Right.
You're dead to it. You have no sense of it.
That's right.
You can't sense it. You can't experience it. You certainly can't try through it. I mean, you'll never take a trip through it. You'll never, have... And thank God in heaven we won't be taking selfies. Amen? Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, you young people with the phone, stop with the selfies. Okay? Take all the pictures you want of somebody else. Okay? But stop with all the selfies, please. I mean, if you're going to take a passport picture, go right ahead. Other than that, come on, simmer down. Okay? All right? Here you can't experience it, you can't enter into it. And this, my friends, if you don't understand this clear teaching of the Savior, where He delineates plainly, that which is born of the flesh is flesh,
yes,
and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Means there's a difference between the two, and the twain are not the same.
No, that's right.
And He goes out of His way to tell Nicodemus this, alright? Now understanding that, brothers and sisters, we should be able to take that knowledge.
Yep.
That knowledge. And we should be able to really interpret some passages of Scripture that a lot of people tear up like a weed eater. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do some injury to these things. And I don't want to be unkind. My brethren, I can agree to disagree on some things. But I'm going to tell you the way I see it in the Word of God, because I'm the one standing up here. Okay? So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Here in this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And I'm telling you, that's not an invitation, that's a command.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when He says unto the elect, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," we call that an invitation. I don't really have that much problem with it, but when it really comes down to it, that's a commandment.
Right.
Have you entered into the straight gate? Have you come and taken the yoke of Christ upon you? If you're sitting under the sound of my voice tonight and you haven't, then that's between you and the Lord, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to repent and confess Him before men. My gracious, what a supernatural eternal blessing it is to own Jesus Christ as yours.
Yes,
to proclaim His name openly before this world, even though it may bring persecutions down upon your head, I'll tell you, that pales in comparison to the power that will be poured into you
right. When
you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That straight means narrow. Discipline. Not loosey-goosey. Alright? Loosey-goosey. Now, a lot of the old primitives probably think us this day are loosey-goosey. But I'm going to tell you what, in a lot of ways, they were too starchy-archy. I mean, in a lot of ways, they really called things, you know, I'm sorry, there is nothing wrong with a husband dancing with his wife, okay? There's nothing wrong with a husband respectfully dancing with his wife. Nobody has the right to hoochie-coo, okay? But a respectful dance, I don't see anything wrong with that, okay? I'm not going to get off on that. There's just too much in that, okay? But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, people, you know, we don't want to get too loosey-goosey, but we also don't want to go in the opposite ditch either. We want to be where the Word of God is. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. There is discipline involved. Choices to be made, things to be excluded, some things to add on that maybe aren't comfortable, and some things to put away that maybe aren't good for you.
Amen.
But you feel good to the flesh, but maybe you have to put them away.
That's right.
Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now that's a commandment. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way. Woo! Yeah, easy travel.
Yeah, right.
Easy travel. My Uncle Clem used to always say when they built Interstate 55 in the middle of Mississippi, he would drive, and the only thing, Uncle Clem, his right foot was about twice as heavy as his left one. I mean, he would lay the hammer down. And he was getting it along in that town car one day, or whatever it was back then. I don't even know if they had town car, but he always liked that big hoopty, you know. And the highway patrolman pulled him over, and he said, you know, Mr. Nettles, you were speeding. You were going 90 miles an hour, and it's the speed limit's at 55, and la, 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 la. You know, and he was telling my daddy about it. And daddy said, well, what'd you say to him, Uncle Clem? Said, I told him if he thought I was going to drive this, you know, $18,000, that tells you how long ago it is, $18,000 car on this multi-million dollar interstate and go the speed limit, he'd got another thing coming. And daddy said, well, what did he say back? And Uncle Clem said, I don't know. I was 10 miles down the road before I said that. He gave me a ticket, you know. He said, that big old luxurious interstate, hey man, I could get on that thing and get all the, it's easy, easy travel, isn't it? Easy travel. And that is emblematic of the troubles that await us. If it's too easy, my friends, you need to check it out again.
Right.
Amen.
If it's too convenient, okay, just be careful, all right? Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Right. And many there be which go in thereat. Now I want to ask you something. Many there be that go in thereat. Now, people look at this passage of Scripture, and some people say, well, obviously, the broad way that leads to destruction is going to end in all those people burning in the eternal lake of fire. And the straight gate that leads to life, obviously, that's the little narrow, that's we four and no more going to heaven, you know. And we're going to do things right. Look at us. Look at how good we're doing. Anybody who thinks that's the straight gate will never acknowledge that straight gate leads to heaven. They'll never acknowledge they're on the broad way that leads to destruction. Have you ever noticed that?
Right.
They didn't say, oh, that's the straight gate. I'm on the broad way. I'm heading out. That's the straight way. See, there's what's under consideration here? Well, he tells and commands you, enter ye in at the straight gate. All right? It leads to a life. The broad way leads to a destruction. Why is it that some people won't go on the straight way, the narrow, the disciplined way? Some people would say, well, it's because they haven't been born again. There's no way this person's been born again if they would choose the broad way that leads to destruction over the straight and narrow way. Jesus doesn't intimate that's the reason.
Right.
Notice this. He says, and many there be which go in thereat. Go where? To the broad way that leads to destruction. Why do they do that? Because they hadn't been born again? No. He said, because straight is the gate.
Right.
He's not intimating they can't see it. He's not saying they don't enter into it because they can't know it. Friends, how in the world is a reprobate, an unborn again, wicked person in their heart who cannot love and honor God and has no craving for the Lord and His righteousness, how in the world is it that if they're not born again, they can't see or enter into the kingdom of God? How is it they're going to be able to see the straight way that leadeth unto life?
Right. That's right.
He didn't intimate they didn't go on it because they couldn't find it. Now, there's been times I've been traveling. I'm going to tell you, up in Arkansas, they don't spend much money on road signs in Arkansas. Bless their heart. I get lost as a goose up there sometimes. You know, in my years past, and I didn't know which way. You wind up, you miss a turn. You go back to that turn, there's no road sign there. No wonder I missed the turn. I don't live in Arkansas. Okay? How is it sometimes you miss the way? You miss it because you don't see it. Jesus didn't say they missed it. They didn't enter into it because they couldn't see it.
Right.
Jesus intimates they didn't enter into it because they saw it. And they saw what it entailed. Okay? They were able to see it. How can they see the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God? How could they enter into the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God? They could not. But yet Jesus said there's some who could go in. They don't go in, not because they're not born again, but because they just choose not to choose the rigor.
Right.
And the
right.
discipline.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody says, how could you be a member of that little primitive Baptist church? Oh, what in the world? Y'all are hyper-Calvinists. Y'all are hard shells. Y'all are peculiar. You're weird. You go to that little plain church. What's wrong with you? You don't have a laser light show. Duh! I mean, yo, what's wrong with you? You don't have Disney trips, Mother's Day out. I mean, let me tell you something, friends. Brother Ricky Harker always said, if they'll get you with a hot dog, they'll get you down the road with a hamburger. All right? It ought not be about stuff when we're talking about the kingdom of God. It ought to be about the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It ought to be about the truth being declared. The church being the pillar and ground of the truth.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it's tough being a primitive Baptist.
Yeah.
But Jesus always said, He never promised, you know, oh, brothers and sisters, it's just going to be easy going.
No.
He said the way to life is straight. It's disciplined. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you'll have to stand up and defend yourself when people at work scoff at you. Or even your kinfolk laugh at you. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you do so, you're fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Prophecy of our Lord and Savior. He didn't say they didn't enter into it because they couldn't see it. He said they entered in because they saw what it entailed. And I want to encourage y'all, my friends, it may seem, and you know, it's intimidating sometimes, okay? You young people, wherever your church, your home church is, you look around and you say, man, I'm one of the only young people here. This church, if time goes on, unless the Lord adds, this church is going to depend on me more and more to come pay
right.
the light bill,
right.
clean the cobwebs.
Right.
Who cleans the toilet at your church?
80-year-old women.
80-year-old women. Because 80-year-old women are bending over with toilet brushes around the country. Because young folks are too scared to walk the straight and narrow way.
Right.
Who are you waiting on to invite you? Jesus has commanded you.
Amen.
Be part of the solution and stop being part of the problem. I remember there was a time when I had to go to church an hour early to vacuum and clean toilets myself. Okay? Because I didn't want the 80-year-old sisters to do it.
Right.
I was the pastor of the church. It's not like I didn't have enough on my plate already.
Right.
Okay? Straight is the gate and narrow the way. But it is the only way to find that abundant life that Jesus has for us here. Our abundant life isn't in stained glass windows and fiery steeples.
No.
Our straight and narrow way, my friends. I'll tell you, though the world may count you foolish, you're walking as close to Jesus Christ as you can. In doctrine and in practice and in devotion and in helping other people. Okay? That is a lot of work. But boy, there's no better work to be had. Amen. There's no better work to be had. And I'm sitting here, I've got to hurry up and bring this to a close. He said, it leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, this is the only one I'm really going to get. I had two or three lined up here, but I'm not going to have time. But I do want to bring a few points regarding this. Whether you say the straight gate is eternal or temporal, okay, it's obviously salvation, right? There's some salvation entailed in the straight gate. He said this life as opposed to what? Destruction.
Right.
If you ain't going toward destruction, you're going toward salvation. Now, I will tell you, you don't have to have too much common sense to see that, right? There is a salvation entailed and involved in going on that straight way.
Right.
All right? Obviously. So, if you want to say, oh, I believe it's eternal, I believe it's temporal, let's talk about that. But obviously, whoever looks at that straight gate that leads unto life, you've got to own their salvation involved in it, right?
Right.
It may be temporal, maybe eternal. I believe, my friends, it's temporal.
Amen.
Temporal salvations that are rooted and poured out with eternal power. Okay? It's blessings on earth that are rooted in the throne room of glory. Okay? It may be temporal, but it has no power without the eternal. There's no temporal salvation unless you first got eternal salvation. But when you've got eternal salvation and the Lord has shown you things, then you can choose the straight and the narrow way. But you can't do it unless you can see it and enter into
it.
Okay? It's the opposite path from destruction. That's not salvation. I don't know what is. But eternal or temporal, either way you cut it, the travelers would have to be able to know it and see it.
Right.
Right? So whichever way, you got to say it's salvation to some extent. Whatever that salvation is, you've got to be able to see it and know it to choose it. Amen?
Right.
You got to. What did Jesus say about being born of the Spirit? You've got to have that before you can see or enter in right. to the kingdom of God.
Right.
Jesus isn't here talking about just pure morality living. The Pharisees that were wicked to the bone, burning in the lake of fire, my friends, one day, dwelling in hell right now, live by a moral code. Okay? So many Muslims out there that would gladly light their women on fire and burn down towers, they live by a moral code.
Right.
Jesus isn't here just teaching you about some moral code. Brothers and sisters, you can even teach a dog to fetch. Okay? Anybody can live by a moral code. We're not talking about just living by a moral code. He's obviously talking about spiritual import here. Okay? Now, you got to be able to see it. You got to have to know it. And you got to be able to enter into it before you can traverse that straight and narrow way. Therefore, one could obey the command to enter. He must already have been born again. Okay? And there are other passages of Scripture in closing that point to this. Look at Romans chapter 3. Now here he's talking about a way, a path, a gate.
Yeah.
Something that's traveled. Alright? What does it say about Romans chapter 3 about people who are not born again in the Spirit of God? Alright? Again, we're not just talking about a moral code. We're talking about spiritual life, spiritual experience in God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, wow. Talking about the wicked. Their feet are swift to shed blood. If somebody's feet are swift to shed blood, now I'm not saying that every wicked person out there is stomping babies to death or anything like that. Thank God, right? Thank God. But you get them just right in the right circumstances and you challenge them with the right challenge to who they are and what they want in life, and you'd be amazed at the carnality and the viciousness that could come out of an unregenerated person. Look, I'm amazed sometimes at the viciousness that could come out of born-again people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, oh, Brother Roger Lewis said, Brother Joe, you see that sister over there? She's a sheep. She's a mean old sheep. She's a mean old sheep. And every once in a while, you know, we'd go off to a meeting somewhere, and some man, you know, would be just raising Cain and everything. Brother Roger would look over at me, he's like, and I knew what he was talking about. That's a mean old sheep, Brother Judge. I knew what he was saying, okay? And so what that tool is would astound us if we were to see the unbridled viciousness of the unregenerated. And I'm telling you, my friends, before Jesus Christ comes again, I think the Bible teaches us we're going to see it.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
Going to be bad, isn't it, Brother Chase? The Bible don't say nothing good about that time of tribulation. And it is coming. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
Right.
Now the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We see that all around us.
Right.
But don't think it's going to get better. It's only going to get worse in general.
Yeah.
But I don't want to leave you with that without you knowing it can also get better in particular.
Right. Yes, sir.
It can get better at Hollow Rock.
That's right. Yeah.
It can get better at Jasper.
Right.
It can get better at Bartahatchee at Sulphur Springs Church. It can get better in your home. It can get even more fruitful in your own heart, mind, and spirit. We can all have these little revivals in the midst while everything's burning around. You had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego having prayer meeting with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, even though the world burns in particular, it can be as sweet as it can get. It can get sweeter
right.
and sweeter all the time.
That's right.
Okay? We can have revival, my friends, and it don't have to be aired on CNN. You hear me? We can have revival, and we're walking
right.
with the Lord and talking with the Lord. All right? Their feet are swift to shed blood. All right? He's saying they're all about themselves and that innate viciousness being just bountiful in them. Do you think those feet that are swift to shed blood are really looking for a straight and narrow way? I don't think so.
No.
Does that sound like what people who, unless they want to do like Saul of Tarsus and kill Christians, okay? But you see, my friends, that's a way that they couldn't get on if they wanted to. If they knew anything about it, there's a way they couldn't find it.
Right.
Over in John chapter 5, verse 37 through 40. And the Father Himself, let me finish our text here. Verse 16 says, destruction and misery are in their ways.
Yeah.
Okay? Destruction and misery, that's the only way they have to go.
Right.
They don't have choices for the straight and narrow way. The only way they can go is the way to destruction.
Amen.
Destruction and misery are in their ways. Oh, Brother Joe, I think they can see it. I think they know it. If I wash their feet enough, if I cook them enough chicken casseroles, okay? If I do that, Isaiah 26:10 says, let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness.
Right. Yep.
And what did he say? Is Paul here quoting these excerpts from the Old Testament trying to show you that, oh, there's a little bit of good in everybody and man can just find his way there? No, my friend. God placed an angelic being with a flaming sword to prevent them to return into the Garden of Eden, and you don't have right to approach unto God on your own.
Amen.
Okay? You wouldn't if you could, and you couldn't if you would. All right? You don't have the right. He says, the way of peace they have not known. What are you going to do with that? Oh, enter in the straight gate, sinner. Dead alien sinner. If a dead alien sinner could give you a biblical response, he'll say, the way of peace, I have no way of knowing. I've not known it. Can't know it. Can't see it. Feet are swift to shed blood. Okay? You know what? I might get athlete's foot every once in a while, but I thank God my feet ain't swift to shed blood no more. Amen? All right,
amen.
I've got a straight and a narrow gate, a way that I can go that the Lord has shown me. And it was the only way I've seen it, because He made me born again. Mm-hmm. He made me, and I've got choices to make. Over in John chapter 5, and the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, Him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus is inviting the world. Jesus said, you can't.
Right.
You can't. You wouldn't if you could, and you couldn't if you would. You can't. Okay? And Isaiah, we're going to close in Isaiah chapter 35. If you want to see a beautiful, poetic, prophetic expression of the joys and the glories that we have in the New Testament church, just go read Isaiah chapter 35. Go read it once a week. It'll do you good, okay? And here it's talking about things blooming in a dry, parched desert. Fountains coming up. A place of peace, a place of beauty. And it's all pointing to the New Testament kingdom in which we live. But now notice what it says. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. He says, a highway shall be there. Well, there you go. A highway shall be there. That's the straight and narrow way. I think that's what he's talking about. Yep. The straight and narrow way. Amen. I think that's what he's talking about. That highway under consideration there. A highway shall be there. And a way. A straight and narrow way. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. A highway shall be there, a straight and narrow way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. If this ain't straight and narrow, according to the words of Jesus Christ, I don't know what is.
Right.
This is it, my friends. This is prophesied of what Jesus was commanding. And I'm going to tell you what, my friends, if I had to wait for some future 1,000-year millennial reign to enter into it, I'd be confused as a football bat right now. But we're here. Amen? We're here. We're in that kingdom. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes back, He's not going to set up a throne in the Middle East. No, we're going to be called up to meet Him in the air. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. I can't wait. I hope it's tonight. I'll shut up if the Lord comes back. I promise you that. I'll tell you, we'll all be conformed to His image as we go up glistering. My friends, what a happy day is going to be. That moment's coming. You keep watching for Him. But while you watch, make sure you're on the straight and the narrow way that leadeth unto life.
Yes,
because that's where you're going to see it more clearly.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
A highway shall be there. Yep. And a way. Oh, absolutely. And it shall be called the way of holiness. Boom. Yes, that's what we're talking about. The unclean shall not pass over it.
Amen.
The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for somebody. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Are you a stranger and pilgrim in this world?
Yes, sir.
Does this world make sense to y'all?
No, one does.
Sister Polly, does this world make sense to you? It makes no sense to me. What? And on the radio, they said common sense is now a superpower. That's true. That's true. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a man. I identify as a woman. What? Oh, okay. I'm a man. I identify as Tom Selleck. I'm not Tom Selleck. Okay? I can't identify as a unicorn. I can't identify as a bumblebee. I mean, I can do that. And you know what? Pharmaceuticals may help me. All right? Maybe. Okay? But it's not true. It's not based in reality. It's foolishness. Yeah. This world is so torn up with stupidity.
Yes.
Yep. It is so foolish. My friends, a spirit of deception has come down. And I'm not just talking about on disobedient children of God. I'm talking about even the unregenerate who should have sense enough to know, and for thousands and thousands of years of world history, they saw the need between a men's room and a women's room.
Right, right.
Even in ancient Rome and Greece, you did not have the men going where the women and the women going where the men. Even back then, those heathen knew better. But nowadays, no, we're all the same. Well, then give birth, Sparky. Come on. Let's see it. Identify as now 10 months pregnant. That's one thing I always understood. They said, oh, 9 months pregnant. You know, it's a 10-month pregnancy. I don't know where that 9-month thing came from. It's 40-week gestation. Okay, Sparky, go ahead and be 40 weeks pregnant. Come on, let's get birth. Let's get at it. Identify. Somebody may say, Brother Joe, this is just stupidity. This is just too much mirth coming from the pulpit. Brothers and sisters, if it wasn't an actual thing going on day in and day out and challenging our children and our schools and every facet of our lives, then I should repent over being up here and speaking such foolishness.
Yep.
Okay? He said, but there are those, the wayfaring men, they don't belong here. They belong in a higher city, in a higher country. A place, my friends, where ambassadors come forward from the home country and preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and lift Him up high. And those citizens of that country, even if they're unaware of their citizenship, in seeing and knowing and being drawn unto Him, they see that that way is theirs. They have right to that way.
Right.
Because they've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and quickened by the Holy Spirit and eternally loved by God the Father in heaven. And here He said, the unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Now somebody may say, Brother Joe, you must think you're pretty good. No, Brother Joe, in a lot of ways, a fool. And you know what? In a lot of ways, you are too.
Right.
Now y'all may say, Brother Joe, we ain't going to invite you to preach here no more. Well, the truth is the truth. Because here's a prophecy talking about you and me. And at wayfaring men, though fools, though we do so many foolish things, He said, when you're in this way, there's no error to be had. When you're in this way, when your mind is focused on Jesus Christ, the eye, which is the light of the soul, the light of the body, when it's focused on Jesus Christ, your body will be full of light. Everything that challenges you, you face it by faith, and you're 100% successful on the other side. Okay? Why? Did things go exactly the way you wanted? Maybe not. But you know what? You leaned on Jesus and He blessed your soul and you got a little bit stronger to the Lord. Yes, you're 100% winner in Jesus when you face things through faith.
Amen.
You see, when we're walking together in truth, my friends, when we're walking according to the Word of God, you know it says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works.
Right.
There's not a good work that you need to do that by following the statutes and the Spirit and the Word of God that you can't do.
Amen. Amen.
But my friends, if you're going to do it, you've got to be on the straight and the narrow way that leads unto life.
Amen.
And if you can see it and if you could want it. I remember Sister Ruby Mosley. Sister Ruby was 90-something years old at Vidalia Old Line Primitive Baptist Church. And she still mowed her own yards because she was blind. But she knew right where all of her plants were. And you better not mess with her plants. And she push mowered. I mean, she was 93 years old, push mower in her own yard still in the southeast Georgia, natty, humid heat. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we'd sit there in her living room and we'd visit and we'd talk about Scripture. And she said, "Brother Joel," she said, "I wasn't raised in a God-fearing family." She said, "They were mean. They didn't get along. Fought all the time. They didn't have a way of peace." She said, "But I'd see these people walking down the sidewalk, dressed up, not just to be dressed, but they were happy with Bibles in their hands, going to church." And she said, "I want what makes them so happy, Brother Joe. I want to know more about that Jesus." And she spent her entire life learning more about Jesus. And she died in victory in Jesus Christ. How did she die with such victory? Because she walked on that straight and narrow way. But I'll tell you, before she was ever able to press into that way, the Lord had quickened her. He owned her. He purchased her. And He gave her the spirit of adoption. Amen. And I want to encourage y'all today. There are rigors. There are trials. There are tribulations to be had in the way. But the good thing about it is, my friends, Jesus will be yoked together with you. I thank you for your good order and attention. I stood too long. God bless you.
She's going to get that baby.